listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It's time for a little Worldview Watch, trying to discern the times and the age in which we live and apply your Christian faith to it. Don't let it just sit in the back of your head as a dusty old idea, but know that it's alive and active and has meaning for what you see around you. Joining me today via phone is our regular guest on Fridays, Pastor Warren Wirth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. We're going to be talking about creation and evolution, and particularly a resource available to you, Evolution Not a Chance. But first, we'll just say hi and maybe talk a little about the trivia night coming up at Good Shepherd on March 18th. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Top of the morning to you, me brother. How are you today?
That's right.
On this St. Patty's Day?
Oh, I forgot to wear green, I'll tell you that.
Whoops. Is everybody pinching you then?
Not yet. Well, it's quiet here in the IC until I get done around 9 o'clock, so we'll see what happens later.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, yes, first of all, we're going to begin with a short announcement. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 10 Brook Road in Arnold, Missouri, we're having our annual Men's Club Trivia Night. Trivia Night is Saturday, March 18th. Doors open at 6:30. Game begins at 7 p.m. The cost is only $12 per person or $90 for a table of 8 players. It's a family-friendly venue with no smoking and no alcohol. We have some snacks that are provided with your entrance fee, but most people bring snacks of their own to share as well. So we invite anybody in the listening area close here in the St. Louis area to join us again. Saturday, March 18th, 7 p.m. at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 10 Brook Road, Arnold, Missouri. If they have questions, they can call the church office at 636-296-1292. That's 636-296-1292 for our annual trivia night on Saturday, March 18th. Now, moving onward and upward, the reason I wanted to begin, besides the fact that it's St. Paddy's Day, is sometimes people think that the Irish are lucky. So how lucky do you think you are? That's why I wanted to bring up with this whole matter of, does evolution have a chance? If you go to the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org, and in the search field type in not a chance, there are a number of things that come up. One of them is that there is a DVD in which there is a recording of one of the popular presentations by Dr. David Menton on this whole idea that evolution doesn't stand a chance, it couldn't happen by chance. And then there's also an article that's, it's actually a chapter of a book, in the Answers book number 3, chapter 16, is also entitled, Does Evolution Have a Chance? The article is written by Mike Riddle, and so I'm going to read parts of that to our listeners today. You can look up the whole article and read it for yourself. It's well worth your time. He begins by quoting George Wald, a Nobel laureate, and he says, one only has to contemplate the magnitude of this task to concede that the spontaneous generation of a living organism is impossible. Yet here we are, as a result, I believe, of spontaneous generation. Oh, you know, that basically is an admission that people who believe in evolution are believing something that is impossible. So while they would criticize our Christian faith in the God who created everything, they have their own faith in chance, faith in what is truly impossible. So again, back to the article by Mike Riddle. In today's culture, molecules to man evolution is being taught as a fact, even though it's known to go against the odds. But few realize the odds they are up against, and they are immense. The Bible teaches that God is the creator of all things. While these passages rule out any possibility of Darwinian evolution, they do not allow for variation. They do allow for variation within a created kind. But there is much opposition to what the Bible teaches. People holding to evolution would argue that random chance events, natural selection, and billions of years are sufficient to account for the universe and all its life forms. Most people recognize that magic is an illusionary feat or trickery by sleight of hand. But how far are you willing to go to believe something can happen by dumb luck or chance? For example, if I were to roll a die and have it come up six three times in a row, would you consider that lucky? How about if I rolled six 10 times in a row? Now you might suspect that I'm using some trickery or that the die is weighted. How far are you willing to go to accept something as a chance occurrence or before we recognize that it was just an illusion? We can test this by measuring our credulity factor. Credulity is the willingness to believe something on little evidence. Evolutionists state that life originated by natural processes about 3.8 billion years ago. Is there any evidence for this happening? Freeman Dyson, theoretical physicist, mathematician, and a member of the U.S. National Academy of Science, states, concerning the origin of life itself, the watershed between chemistry and biology, the transition between lifeless chemicals activity and the organized biological metabolism, there is no direct evidence at all. The crucial transition from disorder to order left behind no observable traces. That's quite an admission. Since the origin of life has never been observed, this is a major hurdle. We are left with the question, is the origin of life by naturalistic processes possible? This can in part be tested by examining two areas. Number one, the success of scientists in creating life or the components of a living cell. And number two, the probability that such an event could occur. Cells are made up of thousands of components. One of these components is protein. Proteins are large molecules made up of a chain of amino acids. In order to get a protein useful for life, the correct amino acids must be linked together in the right order. How easy is this, and does it happen naturally? It turns out that this is not an easy process. There are large hurdles that evolutionary processes must overcome in order to build a biological protein. Protein molecules contain very specific arrangements of amino acids. Even one missing or incorrect amino acid can lead to problems with the protein's function. Before applying mathematics and probability to the origin of life, we need to consider seven parameters that will affect the formation of a single protein. First, there are over 300 different types of amino acids. However, only 20 different amino acids are used in life. This means that in order to have life, the selection process for building proteins must be very discriminating. Second, each type of amino acid molecule comes in two shapes, commonly referred to as left-handed and right-handed forms. Only left-handed amino acids are used in biological proteins. However, the natural tendency is for left- and right-handed amino acid molecules to bond indiscriminately. Third, the various left-handed amino acids must bond in the correct order, or the protein will not function properly. Fourth, if there was a pond of chemicals, primordial soup, it would have been diluted with many of the wrong types of amino acids and other chemicals available for bonding, making the proper amino acids no longer usable. This means there would have been fewer of the required amino acids used to build a biological protein. Fifth, amino acids require an energy source for bonding. Raw energy from the sun needs to be captured and converted into usable energy. Where did the energy converter come from? It would require energy to build this biological machine. However, before this energy converter can capture raw energy, it needs an energy source to build it. That's a catch-22 situation. Sixth, proteins without the protection of the cell membrane would disintegrate in water. That's called hydrolysis. And they would disintegrate in an atmosphere containing oxygen and disintegrate due to the ultraviolet rays of the sun if there was no oxygen present to form the protective ozone layer. Seventh, natural selection cannot be invoked at the prebiotic level. The first living cell must be in place before natural selection can function. So considering all seven of these hurdles, how probable is it that a single protein could have evolved from a pool of chemicals? Probabilities. Outcomes are measured with a value ranging from 0 through 1. The less likely an event will happen, the smaller the value, closer to 0. The more likely an event will occur, the larger the value, closer to 1. Let's practice this by tossing a coin, and then I'm going to have to summarize because we don't have a lot of time here. He shows that if you flip a coin and it comes up heads once out of two times, that's not that unlikely. But how probable would it be if you would flip a coin and have it come up heads every time 100 times in a row? That would be one times 10 to the 30th power. So it's 1 followed by 30 zeros. Do you think that's very likely? Not so likely. Well, This only measures a possibility of getting all left-handed amino acids. It doesn't say anything about their order. In our example, we would have a chain of 100 amino acids. Each position can be occupied by any one of 20 different amino acids common to living things, and these must be in a specific order to form a functional protein. So then he figures what's the probability of that, and that's 1 followed by 130 zeros. And large numbers can be hard to visualize, he says, or even to comprehend, so he wants to picture this for you. So to picture this, if we have the smaller number, 1 times 10 to the 21st power, this 1 followed by 21 zeros, if we were to have 1, take 10 to the 21st silver dollars and lay them on the face of the earth, they would cover the entire surface of the earth to a depth of 120 feet. And there are upper limits for which we can logically expect an event will not occur by random chance. The mathematician Emil Borel proposed that that would be 10 with 50 zeros behind it. That would be a universal probability bound. Any event that with this value would be so improbable that you could say it would not happen by chance. But no, we're already talking about for a single protein, a single small protein to form by chance is one followed by 130 zeros. Obviously, this far exceeds that probability limit. But there's still so much more. When you go through this article, he points out that next you have to consider what's the probability of getting the protein, all the proteins necessary for life. And that's 1 followed by 40,000 zeros. You know, it staggers the imagination. And you still haven't gotten to the end of the story because you have to have a cell, and then the cell has to have all its components, and then you have to have the different kinds of cells. And in the human body is made up of 60 trillion cells. So how long would it take to get all the right cells composed in right all the right order to assemble all the right organs, have all the organs work together and interact as they need to? You know, the mind, you know, is just staggered by even trying to understand this. So at the near the end of the article, Mike Riddle quotes from Malcolm Muggeridge, who said, "One of the peculiar sins of the 20th century, which we've developed to a very high level, is the sin of credulity. It has been said that when human beings stop believing in God, they will believe in nothing. The truth is much worse. They believe in anything." So, again, if you believe in evolution, molecules to man evolution by random chance over millions and billions of years, you're believing something that is, from a scientific and mathematical sense, totally impossible. By contrast, you and I believe that there is a creator God who can do the impossible, indeed has done the impossible, and tells us about it in his word, the Bible. We're not the products of random chance. We're the product of an all-wise, all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God who created things by his own intelligent design. And his word tells us about that, tells us about how we were created, tells us about our fall into sin, but also tells us about this God who didn't give up on us, but instead, in his great grace and mercy, promised and in the fullness of time sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, who rose the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at God's right hand, and is coming again to bring those who believe in him back into his eternal kingdom with a creation that will be restored. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more death, where we will live in righteousness and purity with our Savior forever. This is the message of the Bible, and it's not a matter of luck. It's not a matter of chance. It's a matter of a God who is there and who tells us about himself in his word, the Bible. And you can depend on that. It is God's absolute truth.
My guest, Pastor Warren Wirth of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arlo, Missouri. There is not a chance that the Lord Jesus didn't actually rise from the dead, that he hasn't ascended, and that he isn't coming back for you. And I'll tell you what, universe, it may not be today or tomorrow, but in either case, I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.